Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two peas, Andy and Gerald.
What's up, Andy?
Man,
how you doing, brother?
Are you saying it's the demon days?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Let's feel good. Let's get it ready. Feel good.
Oh, feel good ink.
Feel good.
During the demon days.
Ink.
So although it's the demon days, we're going to feel good about it.
Feel Good Incorporated.
Yes.
I think.
Okay.
Is that what that stands for?
Yes.
There's a tattoo shop that they did Feel Good Ink, INK.
Really?
I thought that was pretty.
That's wonderful.
That's pretty clever.
Was it after this song or
yeah,
before?
Yeah, it was after this.
That's awesome.
That's pretty witty, right?
This is a great album.
Gorillaz.
Gorillaz. This is with a Z.
Not actual Gorillaz. Yes. It's the name of the band.
Yes. great tunes.
For those that don't
innovative.
Know.
Innovative. Love
yeah. Opening us up there with Feel Good Ink.
Ah, the ink.
I want to feel good in today's
you have tattoos.
Climate. I need you here.
You're
you know
covered
I mean?
With tattoos.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the song. I just brought that up because yeah. I thought that was a clever spin on a...
It's very clever. Yeah,
you're closer to me than normal today, aren't you?
I'm sneaking in.
You're moving a little bit each week.
Once a year, you'll just every be on year. Me. Every year, I come in a little closer.
Eventually, you'll just be on
on your lap.
Hey, I can't wait for that day, brother.
Coming to you from Gerald's lap.
So welcome in. Episode 53.
Okay.
Gerald is here.
Andy is across from Gerald, not in his lap yet.
Not yet, but you are inching closer.
I got coffee in a snowman cup.
You do, and I'm drinking out of like a soup cup. Why am I drinking out of this thing? This thing is shaped like a... Why did I pick this one? Is this a cup
is
even?
Is it soup or is
I feel
it
like
coffee?
This is a
what
bowl.
Is
I don't know what this is. Yeah, exactly. I like coffee, but I probably should have got a bowl of it at 9 o'clock at night. We have the rare evening recording tonight. My
it's
family's
romantic.
Home.
Romantic.
My family's home. They're all avoiding me, so you were able to come over and we could record.
Exactly.
It's perfect.
I thought you guys would all be out like singing carols or watching a movie together.
Andy's like, can we record at your place? So I go for work. I'm like, sure. There's nobody here that's going to be talking to me at that time. Come on over.
So this is strange for you having someone talk to you in the
exactly,
evening at your house.
I don't usually have conversations. Honestly, I'm usually asleep at this hour.
Yeah, it's
this
pretty late.
Job's kind of kicking my
it's
ass.
It's pretty late.
Well, it's not that late. Let's be honest. It's like 9:20 Eastern.
Okay.
That's not that late. Is that late?
Well, for me. Like, I got tickets. Here, let me tell you.
Tell everyone, because you told before we started.
Well, there's two things.
I was going to ask how your week was, so what happened this week?
Two things.
Tell us.
I got tickets to see Star Wars Last Jedi.
Yes, you did.
Next weekend. But yes, speaking of being...
Did you get one for me, by the way?
No, you're not going. You don't care enough. Well, it's a tradition. I go with my brother
WTF,
and my brother-in-law every year.
I would dress up as Leia and go with you guys. You want me to do that?
Done.
But you got to buy my ticket. I'm broke.
But I also got tickets to see the Avett Brothers at PNC Arena on New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
Now,
I saw that.
I never stay up till midnight.
What made you get those tickets?
Well, they were bought by my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, and they're taking my
wife.
Oh,
so you're going with
I.
like a group of folks.
Yes. But I mean, I'm going to be tired. That's late. Do you stay up till midnight on
New
Year's
Eve?
You're
going to tell them you'll see him in the car?
Exactly. I can't stay up till midnight.
Guys, you know what? Let me know what the rest of their set was.
Exactly.
I'll be out.
That's late.
Catching some Z's.
That's late. But yeah, Star Wars next week. I'm stoked about it.
You should be. I don't know if I'm going to get to see. You know what I do, though?
Tell me what you do.
Now, I'm not you and your brother,
you're
okay?
Not me.
I'm not.
No, you're not me.
I'm definitely not you. But when it comes to Star Wars, I'm not super, super fan. I'm just super fan. Just one super.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So what I typically do, what we did with Rogue One, for example, is I see it in the theater because I feel like I should do that.
Yeah.
But I wait a couple weeks.
That's cool.
I don't need the fuck. I don't want to get trampled when I go
wait.
See it. Do you know what I mean?
But now they've changed.
I don't need to sit next to eight guys dressed like Chewbacca when I see it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just want to see it on the big screen while I have an
opportunity. Well, Star Wars is the only movie that I see in the theater.
That makes sense.
But nowadays, check this out. Nowadays, it's like you go to the theater and you buy a ticket to the seat. Like, you get seats.
No.
You don't have to wait in line
No,
anymore.
They don't do that now.
Yes.
Wait a minute. You have, like, an assigned seat?
Yeah. A lot of the theaters now, they have... How long has it been since you've been to a theater?
Like 12
like
years.
Like, a lot of... The one we're going to, we have, like, assigned seats. So you don't have to wait in line. You just get your ticket. And you're like, you have, like, E4 or J11.
I think the last movie I saw in theater was Titanic.
K7.
Titanic. That was just a couple years ago, right?
Yeah. was just, like, a light shining through a can.
Just checking. Oh, wait a minute. That was the actual Titanic. I saw news footage of that. I apologize. I'm an old person. All right.
We decorated for Christmas last weekend. We got a tree.
Oh, yeah.
A real tree.
Had a big week. I don't need
at the Christmas tree farm.
Yeah, you've talked shit about my fake tree. By the way, my tree's doing some kind of weird poltergeist shit. So I got this.
Dude, that's spooky. Don't say that.
Did I tell you about the Amazon?
No.
I can't say her name because then she'll come to life. Like if I say Alexa, she'll start talking to us. I don't know, did you hear that?
Yeah.
But she's fucking weird, brother. Yeah. But I love her, but she's kind of creepy. Okay. She'll just like kind of creep up on you. Yeah. But anyway, she's controlling the tree.
We got a plug.
Yeah, we got one of the smart plugs, but it's doing this poltergeist thing where it just turns itself on and off. So I wanted to tell you that because we're, just so everyone knows, give everyone a nice little festive visual.
Okay.
We are by the tree doing our podcast.
Wonderful.
Podcasting by the tree.
Yay.
So if it turns off, that's why. Nothing happened to me this week.
Okay.
Moving on to our topics. Well, we're talking.
Did stuff happen in the world, though? I mean, come on.
I mean, some stuff, I think. I'll tell you what the first thing we're going to start with. So, you a fan of DMX?
It's Dark and Hell is Hot.
Yeah.
DMX's first album is in my top five hip hop albums of all time.
So, listen, brother.
Yes.
You know what? Did you listen to our hip hop bonus episode?
No, I didn't.
You weren't on it. You're probably going, wait a minute. Was I on it? Of course I fucking listened to it.
Yeah.
No, it was with Wiz. Chris okay. Wiz and I.
And what were the topics? What were you talking about?
Josh Hallmark of Playlist.
Okay.
It was our top five 90s hip hop albums. But the reason
can you tell me your number one? Or can you
The Chronic. Me well and Wiz done. Crossed over.
Well done.
We both had our crossover.
Did anybody say 36 Chambers from the Wu-Tang Clan?
That was an honorable mention of mine. But the reason I bring it up is because it was in Chris Wiz's top five.
What, Dark and Hell is Hot?
Yeah.
That's a great
DMX.
Album.
But he said DMX really scares him.
He does. It's really a dark album.
It's really frightening.
Dark album. After that, he kind of fell off. But why? Why?
Well, here, I'm going to play a little bit of the back. So DMX has got a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Here, I'm going to play a little snippet for everyone.
Get out of town. Dash River Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Thunder.
I mean... But do you recall... Have you heard any of this yet? Famous
reindeer of all. Yeah, I heard it. Come on.
Yeah, that beat drops, huh?
It's a great beat.
I mean, DMX. So apparently...
Why?
Because apparently last holiday season...
Okay.
He was singing the song.
Okay.
And it went viral. You know, one of his friends like filmed it on their phone or whatever.
Okay.
And of course, it just made viral news because like DMX, one of the scariest rappers of all time. Did you see the poltergeist?
I
told you, right?
I saw the tree.
The tree just fucking turned off. Turned
That's
back
crazy.
On. But nobody even said Alexa. Did you say Alexa?
I didn't.
Don't say her name.
I didn't. I didn't
if
say anything.
If you say her name, she fucking starts turning shit off in my house. I mean, next thing you know, the air conditioner will be freezing. Our nipples will be hard and shit. She's got a minor. She's got a minor wrong.
Speaking of festive visuals,
hopefully Amazon sponsors us for the holiday season.
Okay.
But anyway, DMX's a remix of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah. Well, okay.
You can look it up on YouTube. It's available on Spotify, exclusively on Spotify. But I just got that clip off YouTube because it's been uploaded on there as well. We're talking about movies. Where you were? I haven't been to the movies since Rose didn't let Jack float over the door with her. But
come on, there had to be a little more room on the door, don't you think?
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, they've been talking about that lately.
Never let go, Jack. How about letting me up on the door for like 5 seconds? Let's switch off.
Give me a break here. So, dude, I love probably my favorite filmmaker. I got to be honest. Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, yeah.
You like him?
Yeah.
I made good shit, right?
Pulp Fiction. I've seen Pulp Fiction. Kill Bill, Volume 1 and 2. I've seen both of those.
Reservoir
Dogs. I want to see The Hateful Eight. I haven't seen that yet.
Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs, another great one.
Classic,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yes.
But anyway, the reason I bring it up is it's being reported by Deadline in Hollywood that Quentin Tarantino is coming up with an idea to boldly go into a new direction for Star Trek.
I don't know how I feel about that.
So how do you feel about...
I can't see Quentin Tarantino doing a Star Trek movie.
I can't either. I mean, that's what intrigues me.
He's very genre. Do you know what I mean? Like he's a genre of his
that's
own.
That's it. That's the thing. He is a genre.
Exactly. I mean, you have like, you know, this movie. Then you have
so
Quentin
how do you
Tarantino
feel
movies.
About it? You're absolutely 100% right. And I've said that before on with other folks.
Yeah.
Is that he is his own genre.
Yeah.
After Reservoir Dogs was awesome. But after Pulp Fiction, for sure.
Exactly.
You're like, okay, when you see a Tarantino movie, those elements are Tarantino.
Yes.
Only him.
But I don't know. I don't know. Is it Tarantino does Star
that's
Trek?
That's what I'm saying. Or so is it going to be a Tarantino Star Trek or is it just going to be Star Trek?
Because I wouldn't think that
classically.
I wouldn't think that the gods of Star Trek would allow Tarantino to Tarantino Star Trek.
Well, J.J. Abrams is producing.
Okay.
And that's already been decided.
Yeah.
And he did the reboot with Chris Pine.
I liked
it like 5 years ago. I thought it was really good too.
A lot.
But he'll be the producer and then you would have Tarantino behind the camera.
I don't know.
I mean, I'd have to see it.
Of course.
I mean, what would...
It's
what,
intriguing.
As a super, super fan that we talked about, how would you feel if you heard Quentin Tarantino was doing the next installment of Star Wars?
I mean, I'd be nervous.
Excited. Your nipples would be hard, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be nervous because I want a Star Wars. I don't want a Tarantino Star Wars. However...
I mean, he's got it out there, brother.
He is kind of out there. I don't know how I feel about a Tarantino Star Wars, you know? Mm. I don't know. But apparently, I guess he's a big Star Trek fan.
He is. Which also, it just... I mean, don't know. It intrigues me.
This is also his 10th movie. And apparently, that's at one point in his career, he said he's only doing 10 movies.
Really?
Yeah. I heard. I read that.
That would be a shame. I mean, he's the man. I mean, he is.
He probably said that before he got like really famous and started making lots of money doing it.
But anyway, per the report, Tarantino shared an idea for a new Star Trek film with producer J.J. Abrams, who took the idea to Paramount. And the plan is to assemble a writer's room that will put together a movie based on Tarantino's concept. If everything goes well, Tarantino would direct and Abrams would be producing.
Are you a Star Trek fan?
I mean, I like some of the stuff, but I'm not. I can't name anybody past like Spock and, you know, Kirk.
I was always Star Wars. Growing up, I think my parents watched the Next two. Generation a lot.
Yeah, and you
so
named,
I caught you know, and you nostalgia.
Named that,
yeah.
You named that on our sci-fi.
Yeah, nostalgia-wise, I love that. But I mean, it's a good idea, but... And I like the new movies.
I don't know. It intrigues me. I mean, we'll see. It's always weird when, you know, it would be like Scorsese doing a Star Trek movie. You'd just be like, what? That's fucking weird.
Yeah.
What's the guy, John Hughes, that did all the 80s rom-coms? It'd be like him doing a movie like a Tarantino
movie. Like
Pulp Fiction 2 with directed by John Hughes. You'd be like, what?
Yes. That'd be great.
That's the weirdest shit I've ever heard, but I want to see it. All right. Don't you forget about me. Okay. how about this one? So this one's a little more serious, but whatever. We'll see what direction you want to go in.
Okay.
So we've talked about John Oliver before.
We have.
Last Week Tonight.
Big
on
fan of John
HBO.
Oliver.
He's a good guy.
The kind of comic news that The Daily Show really made popular. Yeah,
it's kind of like satirical news, but it's truthful.
He's so good. His delivery is spot on, and his accent's wonderful. Yeah. He's an English guy.
British guy.
British guy.
Did you see a couple nights ago, it was on, I think, Sunday night, HBO was doing an event honoring the anniversary of the film Wag the Dog, which I think 20 years old.
Okay.
And Dustin Hoffman was the star of that film. Basically, John Oliver just drilled Dustin Hoffman about the sexual harassment stuff. Did you see any of this?
I read about it.
All right, so let me tell you.
I didn't see the interview.
So let me tell you. I got some of the quotes here from the interview, some of the back and forth here. But John Oliver was the mediator, or the host, if you will, for this event. And it was kind of like a Q&A thing.
Okay.
So they had the cast of Wag the Dog there. They had the director, some of the producers, some of the crew. And they were just reminiscing about the movie.
Okay.
And John Oliver decided that he wanted to bring up the current climate around sexual harassment in Hollywood.
Is that because Dustin Hoffman has been accused recently?
Yeah, you ready for me to tell you?
Or is this okay?
It's pretty recent. I want to say it's within the last, well,
during this whole kind of, exactly. Been, okay.
So what it is, there was a woman named Anna Hunter who wrote an essay for the Hollywood Reporter last month. And she said in the essay, in so many words, I don't have quotes here, but what the essay was about was that Dustin Hoffman had groped her and used sexually suggestive language in front of her during the making of Death of a Salesman. At the time, she would have been 17 years old in high school. She was working as a production assistant on that film, and he was in the film.
I wonder how old he was at the time. Not that really
matters. I
want to
say it was
85,
so I don't know. I just don't know how old he is, but that's why John Oliver brought it up, because Dustin Hoffman was facing those accusations.
And I kind of read that John Oliver said that we have to address the elephant in the room. I have to bring this up.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
In his kind of mind, we can't not talk about
this. That's what I want to ask you. So let me read a couple of the back and forth here.
Okay.
Well, first of all, when the allegation occurred and she wrote her essay in the Hollywood Reporter, Dustin Hoffman released a statement. He said, quote, "I have the utmost respect for women and I feel terrible that anything I might have done could have put her in an uncomfortable situation. I am sorry it is not reflective of who I am," unquote. So,
Did he deny it? Did he say it didn't happen?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, he did say, "I am sorry," but he...
Not reflective of my character.
Right. Right.
Okay.
But so anyway, John Oliver was referring to that reaction to it. And he said to Dustin Hoffman on stage, he said, "I am not a moral arbiter or anything. It's just that it's not reflective of who I am. That's the kind of response to this stuff that pisses me off." Unquote. That's what he said to Hoffman.
Okay. Goodness gracious.
So here's the back and forth.
Give us a little bit of it.
So Dustin Hoffman goes, "Do you believe this stuff that you read?" And John Oliver goes, "I believe what she wrote, yes." And Dustin says, "Why?" And John Oliver says, "Because there's no point in her lying." And Dustin Hoffman says, "Well, there is a point in her not bringing it up for 40 years, huh?" And then at that point, John Oliver just kind of held his head in his hands as if he'd been defeated. And he said, "Oh, Dustin."
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't get it.
Because interestingly enough, when he says there is not a reason for her to hold it for 40 years.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the whole point of the climate right now, is that women are finally feeling that they can come out after 40 years. There actually is a reason she didn't say anything for 40 years, because she felt she couldn't.
Right.
At least I'm assuming.
Well, I was going to ask, how do you feel about Oliver's approach to Dustin Hoffman at this kind of celebratory event? Do you think it was appropriate? Because...
I don't know. It's hard to say because they're celebrating an icon. They're celebrating a movie that this icon made, which has become kind of an iconic movie. And for him just to come out and say, well, I have to address this. It does seem a little odd. However, I understand why he did it. Like I have to address this because it's all over the room right now. How can we not talk about it? And maybe giving, you know, Dustin Hoffman the opportunity to explain himself.
Right.
Because, I mean, for John Oliver, kind of his stint on comedy, his stint on news, what he does is he doesn't hold back. He gives it to you as it is. And so I could see why he wouldn't be able to hold back in this scenario.
Right.
And maybe giving Dustin the opportunity. Okay, maybe you can explain yourself.
I mean, a lot of people are applauding him for, like you said earlier, the elephant in the room and just like, hey, let's get this out of here.
But exactly. Let's talk about it.
I don't know. I wonder if it was prefaced in any way or if he just kind of blindsided him with
it. And honestly, from hearing the dialogue, I didn't hear it here. I just heard you say it, heard you read it. I can hear kind of John Oliver's firing at him because that's kind of what he does.
Right.
So I think it would take Dustin Hoffman, off guard.
And Dustin Hoffman Dustin Hoffman did wrap up the kind of argument or whatever you want to call it by saying, quote, it's difficult to answer your question. You weren't there.
And that's a good point.
You just made a judgment and in my opinion, a very quick judgment.
So the good points of both sides. On the one side, Dustin Hoffman is correct. I mean, we are making judgments based on these stories.
Well, first of all, I'll tell you, I'm not a fucking, you know, genius or a psychologist, but I will tell you that based on Dustin Hoffman's responses, he did something with that girl.
Exactly.
Because he's kind of like, you know, it's difficult to answer. You weren't there.
Yeah.
You're judging me. It's not really who
not
I
that.
Am.
Hold on just a minute. This didn't happen.
Exactly.
You know, like, exactly.
So he had some kind of something with her.
John Oliver brings up a good point. The fact that when people say that's not in my character, what you're really saying is don't judge me by this incident, which is also saying the incident did happen.
Right.
You know
what I'm
saying?
Would probably, to Louis C.K.'s point, for example, would probably be better to say that.
Exactly.
Like, hey, I did this. It was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not, that's not
who
that
I am
one
now.
Thing. That one thing is not me.
You don't want to hide. Why would you want to hide from it?
Right.
I mean, either way.
Let me tell you, let's see how you feel about this because it kind of ties into what we're talking about here a little bit. This was just announced yesterday, actually. I don't know if you've even seen this. This might be the first time you're hearing this.
Okay.
But Time Magazine, as they do every December, announced their, quote, person of the year. However, this year is a group of people. The group is being referred to as the whistleblowers of 2017, the silence breakers of 2017. And that's in quotes. That's what Time Magazine refers to them as. This includes people such as Tarana Burke, who is the creator of the Me Too hashtag.
Okay.
Ashley Judd, Selma Blair, Taylor Swift.
Tay-Tay Swifty. My ass cheek.
Grabbing my ass cheek. Alyssa Milano, Terry Crews, Megyn Kelly.
Well, Alyssa Milano's the No Excuses.
Right. Mm-hmm. And others, but that's some of the more notable celebrities, if you will.
Okay.
The editor that is responsible for kind of making the final decision says, quote, this is the fastest moving social change that we have seen in decades, and it began with individual acts of courage from hundreds of women and even some men who came forward to tell their own stories of sexual harassment and assault, unquote. That comes from the Time editor-in-chief who had the kind of final say there. Just a couple notes. Donald Trump was the runner-up. He was named the runner-up person of the year. You remember he had that whole thing last week where he called Time Magazine out for saying, I'm probably going to be man of the year, but I'm going to pass on it.
Exactly.
So I'm sure he's going to have a field day now that he found out he's the runner-up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm the runner-up because I passed on it. I mean, I can't wait to see what he finds out. So, you know, I got some facts here about the particular women that I just mentioned, but I want to just, you know, what do you, I mean, we're going to do our year-end wrap-up show, and you and I are going to pick our person of the year like we did last year.
Okay.
But how do you feel about this pick by Time Magazine with the collective kind of group of women that came forward the last couple months?
I mean, I have to say, the gentleman mentioned fastest moving social change, and I think that's kind of a good way to put it. I mean, it makes sense to me because if you think about how much has changed in the atmosphere over maybe, what, 4 months?
Yeah.
Because this haven't even been the whole year. This has been like the last few months. But absolutely, I think this choice is spot on because these women coming forward and, you know, making these, blowing the whistle, so to speak, making it okay in our current climate to come forward and say, this happened to me, me too. There's no more excuses for this kind of thing to happen. I mean, think how quick our climate is changing, how much it's challenging us. I mean, even as a male, I'm feeling challenged to rethink the way I look at women. I'm thinking back on my relationship saying, well, has this happened in my relationships where I, you know, did I push a little too hard, you know, to get what I wanted or whatever? So I mean, I think they're spot on. I think they're spot on.
And that's what I said last week to you too. That now there's several, you know, quote positive things about this, but one thing that just kind of jumps out to me every time I think about it is that for the next generation, you know, so that going
that's a good point.
Going forward, men that are coming of age in 10, 15, 20 years,
you're going to think twice,
right? If the climate has shifted, it's not going to be as cool for you to be doing dumb shit that's offensive that you shouldn't be doing because all these women had the courage to come out and kind of change that culture.
Yeah.
Now, you've mentioned on the show before that a culture of men kind of being dominant over women is just something that's always been there.
Yeah.
And it's probably not going anywhere for hundreds of years.
Yeah. I mean,
but we can make it better. You know what I mean? Yeah. We can be a little more kind of aware of what we're doing.
Well, these kind of changes happen slowly over time.
Right.
But bringing the so-called problem to our attention, I think, is kind of the first step.
Right.
The first step is realizing, and hopefully, just like in my own life, and hopefully in the lives of men and women everywhere, rethinking our roles, rethinking how we relate to one another, how we view one another, asking ourselves what is okay. You know, that, like I always mention this, the idea of the fact that men are supposed to chase women. Mm-hmm. We're taught that. Mm-hmm. It's our job to chase
women.
Back to
the caveman days.
Yeah. Even if you're married, like, I'm supposed to pursue my wife. You know, I'm supposed to get sex from her. Yeah. You know, that's just my job as a man. And you know, she's supposed to kind of run away like a damsel. Oh, okay, you wore me down. You know what I'm saying?
Mine runs away, but I don't know if it's like a damsel. She's just like, fucking leave me alone. What are you, nuts?
But it makes us rethink those stereotypes, and it makes us rethink that mythology and those roles. And so the fact that these women are feeling empowered and is bringing this to our attention, I haven't felt a change like this in society in a long time.
Yeah.
So I think they're spot on. I think absolutely things are changing.
So you
hopefully for the better.
Thumbs up from you for the pick.
Yeah, I think so.
Would you think this is a better choice than if they'd picked Trump? Because for Trump, it would be for a negative reason, right? I mean, and I'm not saying that because we're a Democrat. I'm just saying. I mean,
personally, for me, I mean,
it wasn't a positive year.
Like a year ago, Trump got elected president. And over the last year, it's just been, I mean, you can't really say anything better than it's been a shit show. So, I mean, if they picked him for the man of the year, I would have also, agreed that, okay, I mean, no one has been more influential in our society than this man. You know, I mean,
right.
For ill, I think, but I mean, it's just ridiculous.
But this is a positive thing.
However,
And people can read Time Magazine and of course, not that you're going to be shocked in any way whatsoever, but I've already seen people boycotting Time.
They can boycott Time.
Like conservatives are like, I'm going to boycott Time.
To.
Like, okay. Yes. Not that I'm shocked in any way. They could have put SpongeBob on the cover and people would have been like, I'm boycotting Time Magazine.
But also, the thing about Trump is that he really hasn't changed.
Right.
Like, the thing he was elected for last year, the thing that made him the man of the year last year, would be the exact same thing that makes him the man of the year this year.
Right.
One of the main things that's disappointing,
if anything, it's worse,
from him as a president, is that he hasn't changed. You know, we kept saying last year that maybe he'll rise to the office's occasion or whatever, but the disappointing thing is he hasn't changed at all.
Right.
He's the same person.
I agree. All right, Andy, listen, man, we gotta do our pee break, brother.
Do we? Do you need
I'm drinking
do,
coffee out of this soup
do you
bowl.
Need
I need
to
drink a soup bowl of coffee over here. Yeah. Take a leak. So listen, our pod friend of the week this week, we got a special one this week.
Okay.
Is The Countdown.
Okay.
Movie and TV reviews.
Excellent.
Paul and Wayne in Australia.
They're in Australia.
Yes, and
I
recorded this rapid fire segment with Paul a couple months ago, and he's been a guest on our show a couple times. He did one spot when you were out. He filled in for you. And
thanks, man.
He did a couple top fives for us.
I appreciate you.
But I just had the honor of being on their show for the very first time.
Okay.
We recorded it this past weekend. We did the top 10 movies that are so bad they're good.
Okay.
So you're just like, you know, the shittiest movies.
Give me an
but
example.
Like
just
a
one
guilty
example.
Pleasure.
You don't have to give me the top one. Give me an example.
I won't give you my number one because I will tell you that off air because that'll be, you'll like that one.
Okay.
But like Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone, the arm wrestling movie. That was one. You don't know that one.
No.
Night at the Roxbury.
Okay.
What is love?
I'm thinking like My Guilty Pleasure, Point Break.
A couple people on Twitter said Point Break, but like that's too good to be. That's not bad.
Well, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, but it's, you know, surfers
but that
who
did,
rob banks.
Yeah, that did get some mentions, though.
But it's awesome. I mean, I love that movie.
I love that movie, too. It's only one of very few Keanu movies I love. But anyway.
What about The Matrix?
I said few.
Okay.
I love The Matrix. Whoa. I love Bill and Ted. I love Point Break.
I was going to walk out this
door. You were going to do the bullet thing out of the house. But anyway, The Countdown movie and TV reviews. All their information will be in our show notes.
Okay.
They are literally, I'm not even kidding, one of my top three podcasts that I listen to. Yeah. I listen to those guys every week. I love them. And Paul's a personal friend too, so make sure you check those guys out. We're going to listen to Paul's rapid fire segment.
That's very exciting.
So he had a good time with that. So we asked him 10 rapid fire questions, and then we'll run his promo a little bit later. And like I said, you'll be able to find all their information in the show notes. The Countdown Movie and TV Reviews is our featured pod friend of the week. Andy, we'll be back after this pee break, brother.
Sounds good.
And we'll get into our one deep topic.
All right.
It's time for this week's pee break, featuring our pod friend of the week.
All right, guys, it's time for another pee break. I know you need to go, so here we are. This time I have Paul from the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews, and he is going to be answering our rapid fire questions here. Paul, are you ready, brother? Are you prepped and ready to roll?
I am ready, Gerald. Hit me with your best shot.
All right, let's see what we got, man. All right, what actor do you like but wish you did not?
I'm going to say Harrison Ford.
All right. What would the title of your autobiography be?
A Life of Two Worlds.
Okay. You'll have to explain that one later. Cookies or cake?
Cake for sure.
All right. If you could teleport, where would you go?
Everywhere I wanted to.
Give me one word to describe people with tattoos.
Can I give you three words hyphenated? Not forward thinking.
Not forward thinking?
Yep.
Okay. Kevin Costner or Kevin Bacon?
Kevin Bacon a million times over.
What is your biggest pet peeve?
Hypocrites.
What was the last thing that you ate?
Ice cream with strawberry sauce on the top that my daughter failed to finish at dinner.
What would you like more of, time or money?
Time, because then I can make more money.
There you go. That's a good point. All right, and the last one, which you probably know is coming. Describe your podcast, The Countdown, in three words only, Paul.
Controlled chaos, bitch.
I was going to say, what's the third word? I should have known bitch was coming. That's your pee break, guys, for this week. The pod friend of the week is The Countdown Movies and TV Reviews. They are in Australia, but you can find them everywhere. All the information will be in the show notes. Paul, thanks so much for being the pod friend of the week, my friend.
Thank you for the invite. It is an honor.
Welcome on back in.
Who doesn't like Alice in Chains?
Love Alice in Chains, man.
The darkness that is good Alice stuff. In Chains.
It's good stuff, man. Like I say, one of the best. One of the best.
Seattle, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
No excuses.
Man.
Alice in Chains leading us into our one deep topic. Yes. This week, Andy, we're going to discuss General Michael Flynn.
Yes.
And pleading guilty to lying.
Pleading guilty
to the FBI. He lied to the FBI.
Now
you're
gonna have to lay out the story because I have some questions. I have questions, but lay out the story for us.
You know, I do too, to be honest with you. But I'll
go ahead. We're not gonna get anywhere then.
No, we'll just fucking ask each other questions for 20 minutes.
Good.
But you know, I'll give you what I got here.
Yeah, give me what you got because this is crazy because this is one of the first of this whole Russia thing and all the all what's going on in the Trump administration. This is the first. This is a big breakthrough for at least
so
uncovering what's going on.
Right, I agree. And I just want to kind of get your impression. As an American citizen, honestly, like how you kind of feel Trump ties into this and where we go from here and what's next and all that. So basically the headline for the One Deep Topic is that Flynn pled guilty to lying to the FBI about the nature of his Russian contacts during the campaign and the transition to the Trump presidency.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So here's where we start here. Flynn told a former business associate that economic sanctions against Russia would be ripped up as one of the Trump administration's first acts. And this is according to a whistleblower account that the guy's unnamed, the source is unnamed. So
who is this associate? Is this a Russian associate or someone he told that, by the way, if this guy gets elected, sanctions will be lifted?
I mean, it's one of those things where, let's see, it's a detailed letter that was written by Representative Elijah Cummings of Maryland, which is a top Democrat in the House Oversight Committee. But Mr. Cummings said that the whistleblower contacted his office in June and has authorized him to go public with the details, but he would not name any details about the whistleblower.
Okay.
So I guess for his protection or whatever. So real quick before we get too ahead of ourselves, do you remember the sanctions that Obama put in place for Russia meddling in the election? It was like in the last couple months of Obama's presidency.
No, I don't remember those.
In fact, it was Trump had already won.
Okay.
So it was in like November.
So he did that because of the meddling.
It was like the last thing he did before he left office, basically. It was like in November or December.
Okay.
And you know, he left in January.
Vaguely recall.
But anyway, he imposed sanctions on Russia because it was proven by the FBI, the CIA, that Russia had been interfering with our election in last November.
Yeah.
So he said, you know what? Fuck you guys. I'm going to put some sanctions on you guys because I can't really, I'm not going to go to war with you.
Exactly.
But I'm going to put some sanctions on you to kind of punish you
For meddling.
You shouldn't do that. I don't want you to do that going forward. So here's some sanctions. Maybe you kind of learn your lesson a little bit. So anyway, fast forward to Inauguration Day. And Michael Flynn, who was in Trump's camp at that point, said, okay, you know, get you guys on our side. Day one, Trump's going to get rid of those sanctions. Don't worry about it. You'll have to deal with it for a month. Let Obama do whatever he's going to do. But as soon as he's out of there, we're going to get rid of them. They're going to be, quote, ripped up. Okay. That was how the whistleblower announced it. So Flynn believed that ending the sanctions could allow a business project he had once participated in to move forward, according to this whistleblower.
Okay.
The account is the strongest evidence to date that the Trump administration wanted to end the sanctions immediately and suggests that Mr. Flynn had a possible economic incentive for the U.S. to forge a closer relationship to Russia.
Okay.
On Inauguration Day, on the day that Trump was sworn in, so literally the first hour.
Day one. Okay.
Flynn texted that former business associate to say that the project was good to go. And by the project, he means lifting the sanctions.
Okay.
Talked a little bit about where it came from. You know, Flynn has been under investigation along with several other people by Bob Mueller for the last, I don't know, year, 6 months, which is a special counsel that's been looking into the Russian meddling and
meddling.
All that stuff.
Meddling. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I got Trump's response here.
His most recent response.
Yeah, I got his Twitter thing. Yes. I gotta pull up his Twitter feed real quick. But before we get deep into the responses and stuff, I mean, how do you feel as an American citizen here when you heard this or when you're hearing it now? Like, I mean, does it feel kind of like foreign to you? Like, this is fucking weird, or is it just like, who gives a shit? I mean, how do you feel?
Well, I mean, I guess first and foremost, I didn't feel anything because I'm not surprised at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you surprised at all? I mean, after hearing about Michael Flynn and looking closer into his ties with these different companies, I mean, this makes complete sense. However, it still doesn't really seem to be tied to the meddling yet. All he's saying is that I can benefit from these sanctions being lifted, and I lied about having that conversation. It still is really not tied to the Trump administration and the meddling itself.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to be. And for some reason, I just don't think it ever will be, because I think they've distanced themselves enough that people around them will go down, but they can just kind of shove them off as, okay, you know, you did this on your own, you did this on your own, you did this on your own. So, I mean, right now, all this does to me right now, or all it says, is it incriminates Michael Flynn. And it says that
that's what Sarah Sanders is saying on behalf of the president, too. But here's what I want to add. Okay. Hold that thought.
So I'm not
hold
surprised.
So the fact that you said that just now, let me ask you, I was going to ask you this later.
Okay.
But let me ask you this, your opinion of Trump's involvement, because what you just said is it incriminates, and you're talking about, like, on paper what it says.
Right now, yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, from an opinion standpoint and logistically, do you think that, and I wrote this down in my notes to ask you, and I didn't want to forget to ask your opinion, but do you feel like Trump can plead ignorance here? I mean, he's the boss.
I think he will.
Right, but I mean, how are we supposed to believe? In other words, do you think
Flynn... What do you think is going to happen?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. So do you think, and think about this seriously.
Okay.
On Inauguration Day, on the first day in the fucking office,
okay,
we don't even know what Trump's going to be doing. I mean, he hadn't even finished taking his hand off the Bible yet.
Yeah.
Do you think Flynn or anybody else is going to be, like, making, quote, presidential decisions and policy changes without him knowing about it? Because what this is saying is that Flynn's like,
I know this is going
to happen. We're going to lift the sanctions. Yeah. The project's good to go, but so Trump has no idea.
And if Flynn is talking to powerful people, he has to have some kind of assurance. Well, I mean, here's the thing. And I'm just going to give you my opinion.
Now, I know that's abstract, but right?
In the abstract, in my opinion, of course Trump's administration knew about all this. I just don't know if it'll ever be proven. And what Michael Flynn is saying right now, I mean, these are, yes, they're warped people. Yes, they're, you know, powerful. And yes, they're kind of bent in their morals a bit, but they're not stupid.
And another thing,
I don't think anything's ever going to
tie Trump.
What
you're doing is you're right to be doing it. And that's why I have you on the show, sir.
Thank you.
But what you're doing is you're taking the abstract, which is what I'm kind of talking about. Yeah. The kind of stuff you can't really prove,
yeah,
or at least not yet.
Yeah.
And you're taking what we've got.
Yeah.
And what we've got only points to Flynn.
Yeah, what we've got.
That's what you're saying.
Flynn is saying, hey,
Right, but what I'm saying is common sense tells you there's no fucking way Trump didn't know something about this.
Yes.
No way in hell. I mean, even at a minimum, if you want to say he didn't order it.
Think about the ego of Trump.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy who needs to be in control and to know
everything. He has to know what kind of toilet paper he's exactly. in the White House.
So, I mean, but I think it's been obvious from day one that they've known, that they've had to have known what's going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
At least, or at least maybe people around Trump made sure, like, you know what, Mr. President, but, to be, you don't need to know about this because it could incriminate you.
Well, maybe.
Unless they're telling him that, unless he's actually smarter than we think he is. He's like, you know what? I actually don't know about any of this stuff because I don't want to know about it.
Right.
Get me elected, period. I don't care.
Well, you know, they asked Trump about it on the...
So what did you... Yeah, what, I want well, to they asked Trump about it. I haven't looked at Trump's response yet.
They asked Trump about it on the White House lawn a couple days ago. And he said, quote, and I'm going to point out where this is kind of the path that's kind of been created over several months and is kind of coming to fruition right now. But he said, quote, I feel very badly for General Flynn. He has led a very strong life. And he said this in succession. I'm not breaking any. This is exactly how he said
it. Okay, you're not giving me random quotes.
No, this is like a 10 second. This is what he said.
Okay.
I feel very badly for General Flynn. He has led a very strong life. Hillary lied to the FBI many times and nothing happened to her. Unquote. Now, let me shift to something real quick. Hold on a second. I'm going to get a.
Was it ever proved that Hillary lied to the FBI?
No. They investigated her three times. They came up with nothing. It's his opinion that she lied to the FBI. And it's like his constituents' opinion.
You know what? Everything I just said over the last 5 minutes. Hillary. Everything I just said over the last 5 minutes, drop all that.
I got some for you.
I mean, who does that?
Hey, it's the holiday season. I got some for you.
Who does that?
You ready?
Who's still talking about Hillary?
I'm about to,
just goodness gracious.
Dude, buckle up, Buttercup. That's his quote on the law, and I'm about to go to his Twitter account. You ready?
Yeah. This week in Chuck Keats.
Give him his lollipop.
So the ever popular segment, This Week in Trump Tweets. I call
wait,
it the...
Hold on, wait.
Whoa. That was a load, brother. Wow, he must have had a big week.
It always is. It always is.
Right, okay. Let me get myself situated here.
Okay.
So I just mentioned what he said there on the lawn. So
that's on the lawn.
So here's some tweets.
Oh, now he's going to start tweeting.
So General Flynn lies to the FBI and his life is destroyed, while Crooked Hillary on that now infamous FBI holiday interrogation with no swearing in and no recording lies many times and nothing happens to her. Rigged system or just double standard? A couple hours later. Many people in our country are asking what the Justice Department is going to do about the fact that totally crooked Hillary, after receiving a subpoena from the U.S. Congress, deleted and acid-washed 33,000 emails. No justice. So he's bringing up news from like 2 years ago with the email scandal.
They looked into that.
Of course they did.
They looked into all this.
Do you? Okay.
I don't understand.
Let me ask you something. I don't want you guys to think, and I don't want you to think that I'm just reading his tweets just because. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to paint a picture here for you.
Keep going.
But I'm going to tell you, I'm trying to paint a picture here for you and for the listeners that he is creating a narrative. I've been saying that forever. Okay. He's creating a narrative for his base that everything is fake news and that Hillary is the devil. Right.
Okay.
I mean, do you see that or do you not see that?
This is classic.
Am I the only one that sees that? I'm just asking.
Classic man gets caught cheating. The advice the man gives the other man is that no matter what, say it wasn't you. Mm-hmm. There's a song about it. Just deny, 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 deny. Never let it slip. Deny, deny. That's what you do. When you get caught lying, if you want to get out of it, deny, deny. So what you're saying is that Trump is still doing what he's always been doing. He's keeping to the narrative.
Exactly.
Stay to the narrative.
He's not changing the story, bro.
Stay to the narrative.
He's not changing the story.
You can almost hear people around him saying, stay to the narrative. Stick to the narrative.
I mean...
Dude, it's brilliant almost.
I mean...
In a very...
I mean, yeah, in a weird way.
Immoral, dark way.
Because as soon as he breaks from that
he can't admit something... He can't do it at all.
Then everything he had said and to think that about point what would he's be saying,
how
for naught.
Think about how simple it is what he's saying. He says the same thing every time. This woman is evil.
Yeah.
And you're right. This woman is evil, crooked.
Right.
And everything you hear on these news stations is a lie.
Yeah.
And all he has to do is keep saying it. And you can say anything you want, any kind of proof of any misgiving or misdoing, anything could come out, and that's all he has to say.
So you remember when James Comey went before the Senate hearing and he said that Trump had said, you know, I want you to let it go. Remember that?
Yeah.
Talking about Flynn. I think Wiz was on that show the week that happened, but you weren't here, but I'm sure you recall.
Yes, I recall.
But, you know, General Flynn, let's let it go. As in, like, you're the head of the FBI. Don't investigate him. I mean, right? I mean, you can say whatever you want to say let it go means, but that's what it sounds like to me. So, anyway, there's a tweet here that's in reference to that because they're reporting on that. And Trump says, I never asked Comey to stop investigating Flynn. Just more fake news covering another Comey lie. So now the news is lying. Comey lied in front of the U.S. Senate. And Hillary's crooked. Is that what I'm saying? But did Trump do anything wrong? Has Trump... do you see what I'm getting at about the narrative?
Yeah.
And he, and like you said, it's almost genius that he's just not straying away from it.
Nope.
It's, you know...
It wasn't me.
Fake news. Fake news has become probably the most used statement in news in the last year.
Yeah.
And it was all started by him. And he made a joke that he created that term, which maybe he did. I don't know.
Well, think about it. Like, he's seeking to undermine the integrity of where we get our information.
Mm-hmm.
So then all of a sudden you don't, because where else do you get your information from? Then all of a sudden you don't trust these news sources to give you information anymore. So where do you get it from? You get it from him. So, I mean, it's classic.
After years... Yeah.
Totalitarian governments do this all the time.
It says, this is the last one I'll read about this, the Russian kind of stuff, because this is all in reaction to when this news came out.
Mm-hmm.
After years of Comey with the phony and dishonest Clinton investigation and more running the FBI, its reputation is in tatters, worse in history, but fear not, we will bring it back to greatness. So now he's trying to smear the FBI. Flynn is... going to and saying I lied to them. So now he's even like, it's almost like he's even doing a Flynn versus FBI kind of thing.
This is ridiculous.
It's crazy, right? It's crazy. So that's what's going on. So that's Trump's This Week in Trump Tweets.
Well, how do I mean...
That's how I call that our twit segment. I'll tell you that.
Yes, here's the question. How do you combat that as a news agency, as the FBI, as a government? Like, even people in the Republican Party have to be looking at this and saying, this is ridiculous.
Right.
So as a journalist, do you just keep doing the best you can? Do you say, okay, we're not going to fight that. We're just going to keep doing the news the best we can.
Well, can I ask you a question? So,
I mean, what do you do?
Well, that's a good point. But can I ask you a question as a viewer and as a reader of news? Okay. Like, we study for the podcast and all that stuff, and we watch news and we watch clips and read stuff. I'm tired of them trying to paint I'm talking about the media.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of the media trying to paint a picture of Trump that we already know.
Yeah.
Like you said, he hasn't changed.
No.
I mean, if he'd won Person of the Year this year, it would have been the same shit as last year.
And that's the thing about...
It's the same person.
Yeah, that's the thing about, feel bad that he's elected or not. We got exactly what we asked for.
Yeah.
He is exactly what he sold himself
as. But you were asking, like, what we would do, and I'm just saying, if I was the CEO of a news organization, it would be risky, because I would be on my own pretty much. But I would be like, we just need to report... We don't need to report about his persona...
At all.
You know, we don't need to report about him calling us fake news, because they do that. You know, like CNN will run a story and have a roundtable of people talking about him calling them shit on Twitter.
Yeah.
So they're basically just taking the bait.
Of course.
And then, they talk about it.
Because he wants you to conversate with him to enter into dialogue with him on his level.
But to me, the fact is that one of his chiefs of staff, Michael Flynn, went and said, look, I lied to the FBI. I lied to you guys, telling you I didn't lie to the FBI.
And no matter what he lied about, the fact that he did lie should undermine his integrity and the integrity of the administration.
And Trump said that he let him go because he lied to Pence, which is true, too, because the same lie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he also lied the same lie to the FBI. That was your number one guy. He was with Trump the whole campaign. You know that? He was with Trump longer than anybody else in the campaign, longer than Kellyanne, any of those fucking guys, Bannon, any of those guys. So he was with him for months. So you're fucking telling me that he never said, hey, Donnie, look, dude, we need to drop these sanctions if you get elected, because we have a lot of business interests in Russia.
Yeah.
We can make a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? And Trump being the businessman and being the fucking gold Trump on everything.
Yeah.
And fucking wears condoms with a fucking gold T on him. You're telling me that he's not like, yeah, Michael, let's figure this out. I'll get rid of the sanctions. Absolutely. So that's where to your point, is there proof? Is there evidence? Is there Trump on tape or anything like that? We don't, maybe, but we haven't heard that yet. So then, of course. Fine. Then it's not. It's hearsay.
Yeah.
I get that it's hearsay.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying from a common sense perspective?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it seems so obvious, and it's always been obvious. But what you have now, hopefully, is the beginning or in the midst of an unraveling over time where this will continue to unravel.
So let's wrap up on this. Let me ask you
it
that.
It is closer.
Then. Let me ask you that then.
Because now this is the first time you've had someone saying, like, okay, I did this.
That's what I'm saying. So let's segue to our final thought for this topic then. So what do you think what do you envision going forward? Do you see in any fucking scenario in real life that Trump would admit any wrongdoing? Okay.
Even if it came out that someone said, yes, Trump did this, I did this, we did this, Trump would still say no.
You know what I think it's going to take? I think it's going to take like the Nixon era where he was on tape.
Yeah.
Like the Watergate tapes.
Yeah.
I think it's literally going to have to be him on tape saying, do this or I want you to do this.
Yes.
And then, because then he can't deny it. Or, if, you know, he can spin it if he wants to, but he won't be able to deny this.
Because you got to think, I mean, going back to your point about the narrative and everything, even if there is an investigation, even if the FBI says, yes, we have found Trump guilty, well, guess what? The FBI is the bad guy now. Mm-hmm. And the FBI is, well, they're lying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody's the fake news. Everybody's the bad guy, especially Hillary. Yeah. I feel bad for her. She's just trying to do book signings. And our friend Katie Ward, who's been on the show before, I met her a couple days ago.
Oh, wonderful.
Out in California. Yeah, she got her autographed a copy of her book there.
Wonderful.
Okay, you want to do? You want to wrap up anything on that? Are you good? You don't have to. I just don't know if you want.
No, it just seems like I don't want to undermine, even though it is circumstantial, even though all we have now is incrimination on Michael Flynn. I don't want to undermine that this is another huge step in the continuing saga of the unfolding of what actually happened.
You see him getting impeached,
and eventually, I don't see how he cannot. Like, but see, the thing is, all he's done is been a shitty president.
True.
He hasn't really done anything, quote, illegal.
True. He's at least just, not that we can prove.
Like, you can't be impeached for being a douchebag.
Not that we can prove.
You can't be impeached for being a jerk. He for has. For being an egotistical maniac who flirts with, you know, World War III.
But in my opinion, he has obstructed justice.
Yeah.
If I have to believe Comey, which I do. Because I don't think Comey, who was in the FBI for decades, that served this country his whole fucking life, would go in front of the Senate and lie just because he doesn't like Trump. And this is the same guy who threw Hillary under the bus 2 weeks before the election.
Yeah. I mean, I don't these things have to unfold. I mean, I think so. I mean, it's another big step.
We're going to get into our pop culture stuff, brother. We're going to try to bring everybody back. Got a couple good ones this week, buddy, that I'm pretty...
Are you that excited?
We're going to do a promotion. Okay. That was weird. Promotional advertisement for our buddies over at the Countdown. Mm-hmm. We talked about Paul and Wayne earlier over in Australia. Had me on their show this week. Go back and listen to episode 140 of theirs.
Okay.
And you'll hear yours truly on there.
Wow.
As I discuss movies that are so bad, they're good.
Wonderful.
Some people talking shit to me online, though.
Yeah?
Somebody said my list was horrible. Whatever.
Okay.
People love trolling me, so I don't know. At least it's not Trump. Hopefully he doesn't listen. He'll be like, I love Over the Top, you fucking bald douchebag. That would be the best thing that ever happened if we did that. All right, so we're going to run their promo, Andy, and then when we come back, we will wrap up with a few fun pop culture stuff, buddy.
Sounds good to me.
Sit tight.
All right.
Do you piss green after you've eaten vitamins? We certainly do, and therefore you should listen to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast.
Even if you don't piss green, isn't something I think you guys will like if you like TV and you like movies?
We count down lists associated with both, as well as offer the occasional review and a number of segments that are random in nature for your enjoyment.
Check out the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews on iTunes, Podomatic, or your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back, guys.
All right.
Thanks again to Paul and Wayne over at the Countdown for being our featured pod friend of the week. Make sure you look up all of their information in the show notes and go check those guys out. Over in Australia, you can listen to them.
The Aussies.
All right, wait a minute. Even in America. What else? They're in Australia. You can listen to them in America. All right, dude. Listen, we do Starbucks. We talk about Starbucks all the time. We talk about their offensive gay rights holiday cups that they have. We talked about that last week.
Hold ambiguous hands. What, ambidextrous hands?
Hands? Yeah, absolutely.
Androgynous hands?
I love Starbucks. I give them way too much money every year.
I think you do.
But listen to this. In Shanghai, China.
Okay.
I think, right? And then China?
I think
Honestly, I don't know, but I think
I think Shanghai's in China.
I do too. I didn't write that on here, so I just want
to... Shanghai!
I don't want
Shanghai, Nigeria.
I don't want Wiz angrily retracting me. Shanghai's in Japan, you idiot. But I think it's in China.
Yeah.
So it's a new... Did you see that?
Yeah,
the poltergeist tree again.
Poltergeist tree.
Christmas tree's going to fucking kill us.
And there are Starbucks ornaments on your tree. It's all coming together.
There are. It's all coming together now. Right. So the world's largest Starbucks is opening in Shanghai this week. It is going to have more than 400 employees and can serve up to 550 people in house.
Man, that's a big Starbucks. I saw a picture of it.
Did saw the pictures, yeah. Beans are roasted on site to create fresh brews.
That's cool.
It is Starbucks' first, it's the brand's first Starbucks Reserve Roastery.
So it's a brewery. Kind
basically,
of.
They do their own coffee there, and then they have as well.
See, that's cool.
But it's focused on serving gourmet coffee. Five more are planned to be open, including two in the U.S., but they have not announced the cities yet. You got to imagine New York. Probably. New York and maybe L.A.
Yeah.
Cali, yeah, Boston, something like that.
Yeah, some big cities.
Yeah, I want to check it out, though. I gotta be honest. Definitely. It looked pretty cool, right?
Oh, yeah.
You saw it's like a two-story thing. And
I've never been to a coffee place that roasts its own coffee.
I know. That's good.
Like in-house. That's kind of cool, man.
I'm into it.
Yeah, you're going to go to China? I wonder why China.
I wonder if they'll take my reward card there.
Yeah, probably.
Like over there, my gold card.
Yeah.
I hope so. What? Did
yen.
You ask me a question?
Play in yen. What do they do in China? Yen?
I don't know. Yen? I didn't even know it was in China, remember? So I don't have no idea what the fuck
you
cares.
Have to pay in yen.
Is it yen?
I guess so.
Yin and yang?
Yeah.
Bring it with the J, with the soft J, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We're bringing that back.
Wonderful.
That's the callback from episode two. Or
I guess they like coffee in China. That's cool, man.
Long time listeners will get that joke. No one else will. And by that, I mean everyone listening. go back and listen to episode four if you want to get that joke. All right. So listen, the world's first engagement ring phone case is coming out.
What?
I sent this to you tonight, actually.
I didn't see it.
I know you're hearing this for the first time. You ready? So it's called Rock Shock. It is. That's the name
that's
of the.
Name.
That's the name of the man.
Okay.
Or the brand. It is modernizing the engagement ring box. So you know, you've been married for how long? 10 years?
15.
15 years. Yeah. I knew that. I was testing you. Very well done. I knew it was 15. So when you proposed to Becky, did you have a ring in a box, or did you put it in your pocket?
Well, we knew we were getting married.
Put it around your dingling. What'd you do? What'd you do? Tell me what you did.
This is ridiculous.
You seem like a romantic. I thought maybe it's something you do.
Well, we went to the jewelry shop together to buy and pick out the ring together.
What?
Well, we knew we were going to get married.
That was your proposal?
Yeah.
Calling me to K Jewelers, pick the shit out, and get the shit on the road here. Do I have to do the whole knee thing and just buy whatever ring you want?
I got a line of credit here.
Just go there.
You know.
Tell her to go in there. Tell her you go down to Hooters and you'll figure out.
I don't have to tell anybody a sunset's beautiful. It's just beautiful. I knew we were getting married, so we went and picked out the ring together.
Say, look, go in there and pick out your ring. I'm going to go down to Hooters and have lunch. Text me when you're done.
Did you get a box? Wait, how'd you do?
All right, I don't remember. I'm telling you, I did have it in a box. But you know what? I didn't have it in a box when I did it because I had it in my pocket. We went to dinner.
Okay.
So I feel like a ring box would be bolting out of my pocket.
Did she cry? Did she cry when she
cried? She's like, I can't believe I'm going to do this.
I can't believe
I got to marry this guy? This is unbelievable.
This is my life. Look at this.
So did I tell anybody yet?
She always free dessert because they felt bad for her.
They did.
They copped her meal because, like, you're going to marry this guy?
Paul Bearers came out. So listen. The phone case conceals the ring, okay? So you can put it, like, you know, in between your phone and the case, basically, okay. And you close it. And then when you're ready, you get down on one knee or whatever you're going to do. You open up the case, and the ring is kind of, like, elevated in the case. And it creates the perfect photo or video because you can see the ring in the field of view. And you see the young lady there who is being proposed to, or gentleman that's being proposed to.
So you got to buy the case. I mean, it's a special kind of
thing. You got about it. The Rock Shock case. The idea is to create the perfect picture to capture the point of view of the person being the proposee. Is that a word?
Yes.
How you feel about this?
So it would capture your wife right before she screamed.
Capture my wife right before she said, fucking no. I'm like, are you fucking insane?
I think that's a good idea.
Take that back.
Cool.
It's a nice case, but get rid of the ring.
It sounds expensive.
Actually, I don't know how much the retail is for.
Retail price.
I don't have the retail for that.
That's cool. I like, when you first said it was a case, I was like, why are you going to buy a case to hold a ring? But
all right,
then with the perspective, I like the perspective.
We got to fly through this. I got a couple, I got one food one. You know, I got to do that. I want to talk about Taco Bell tonight, by the way. Fucking horrible service. We'll talk about that later.
It's Taco Bell. What'd you expect?
I expected high caliber 5-star shit, brother, but I didn't get it.
What'd you get at Taco Bell?
All right,
Bell?
Listen. I got a Mexican pizza this evening. I mix it up. Sometimes I do a burrito, so I'm going to stick that in my face hole. But this time I went with a fork. I did the Mexican pizza.
And you're okay with that?
I'm all right with
putting
it.
Taco Bell in yourself?
I might not be all right after you leave this evening, but I'm all right with it right now.
Okay.
All right, so listen. Domino's Pizza has launched a baby registry.
This is ridiculous.
Now,
I just got to say.
What's funny.
For foodies like you.
What's funny.
Domino's foodies.
What's funny from a marketing standpoint is 9 months ago, they released a wedding registry.
Ooh.
So exactly 9 months of the day.
Smart.
That's funny, right?
That's impressive.
They have a baby registry. It includes pizza packages and pizza themed swag. Here's some of the pizza packages you can buy for the expecting parents. You ready?
Okay.
Hormonal and hangry, you can buy for the mom-to-be. Dachler party, which you can get for the father and the new dad there.
Okay.
The Last Supper, which is a gift to send to them the night before they go to the hospital.
Love it.
The gender reveal, of course.
Yeah.
And just a package for sleeping through the night.
Yes.
So, it's something everyone wants to celebrate.
I assume these all come with food. I saw t-shirts.
Yeah, these are packages. Yeah, you order fucking, it's like a package. It's like you get two pizzas and wings and shit like that. I mean, it depends on which one it is, but they're all different menu items.
This has to be a thing guy invented, because I mean, the night before, your wife's about to pop, the night before, you would get a pizza?
The digital marketing.
I know you're nervous. I know you're going to have a baby tomorrow, but you want a pizza?
Ironically.
You want some wings? I can eat some wings.
The dad will be like, I fucking have pizza. Sure. You're the one fucking giving birth.
Exactly.
Give me pepperoni. I don't care. As long as it doesn't affect me driving to the hospital, sure. Ironically, the digital marketing exec that came up with this is a woman.
That's pretty smart.
No, I think her name is Jessica or something. I don't know. I wrote it down, but I don't know.
Honestly, if you think about it, I mean, pizza's great for every occasion because, I mean, you're having a baby, you're getting married, you don't want to cook, so you just order a pizza. I mean, that's a great idea.
Listen, you have cats. We have cats.
Do you have
any other pets?
No.
You have any cats you got?
I got two cats.
How many pussies you got running around? You got two? You got two of those, and you got you got your wife, and you got two children, right?
Yes.
So you got a lot of people there.
Yeah.
So there's a 12-foot wide mattress that's come out called the Family Size Mattress from Ace Collection. Have you seen this?
We can all sleep together?
Well, me and you? Sure, I'll sleep with you guys. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
It's 12-foot.
You phrased that weird.
Jamie and Logan can come over.
Yeah, we'll
Madison?
Do the podcast. And I won't even be able to hear him on the other side of it.
Excited.
So a king-size bed. Let's see. What's your traditional king-size bed? Is it's double.
That's a big bed.
So king-size bed, just to give you an idea,
who
it's like 6 feet.
Who wants to sleep with their family, though?
I mean, honestly, that's a lot of people, brother. To get but we need that, because Logan, we're still doing the co-sleeping with him. I mean, every night, 2 o'clock in the morning, he comes in there.
Really?
Yeah, well, not every night, but a lot of nights. And did you see it? I told you. That tree's going to fucking kill us. We got to wrap this up. our Christmas tree is going to murder us on episode 53. It retails for $2,750.
You got to pay $2,700 to have your family sleep with you.
I have to pay a lot more now. My family sleep with me. But yes, most people can pay for that to get the family size mattress.
That's a lot of mattress.
Last one I'm going to give you and then throw you for a loop. Oh, I'm going to give you this one because it goes with a loop.
Okay.
Jim Beam.
Ooh.
For the holiday season, obviously the famous bourbon company.
Oh, I know the bourbon.
Has released and you said your dad's a bourbon, right? Whiskey?
Yes, whiskey bourbon guy, yeah.
So tell me what he thinks about this, actually.
Oh, okay.
If he listens to this, man, I want to see what he says about this. Will you tell me that next week? Because I'll forget to ask you what he said.
I'm going to see him this weekend.
All right, I'll forget to tell you, or I'll forget to ask you what he said, so you got to tell me.
Okay.
You got to say, hey, I told my dad about the Jim Beam thing.
Okay.
And then I'll be like, okay, what'd he say? And then we'll have that conversation. A little foreshadowing.
You don't have much to do, do you?
A little foreshadowing. No, I'm fucking on pins and needles. I am on pins and needles about your dad's reaction to this.
Your life makes me sad.
It should. Jim Beam is coming out with a smart whiskey bottle. It's called Jim, of course.
Okay.
It's deemed an intelligent bourbon decanter.
So you buy the bottle and you pour the whiskey in it. You don't buy it.
Well, it comes with whiskey in it. Okay. I mean, it comes. It's like a whiskey bottle, but it's a smart bottle or decanter. It's voice activated. It talks to you. It's voiced by 7th generation distiller Fred Noe.
So that's kind of cool.
It is a smart decanter engineered with more than 200 years of bourbon know-how and a hint of Kentucky charm.
Yes, but what does it really tell you besides pouring your
shot?
It
gives you facts about bourbon. It'll pour a shot of bourbon for you.
Okay.
That's it. It just talks to you about bourbon. It says it has 200 years. It probably has like a bunch of trivia about bourbon.
See, that's kind
of
cool. See, when I first saw it, I thought that it just poured the drinks for you. I was like,
it does that too. Which
like,
is,
not only am I drinking a bunch of bourbon now, but I'm not even going
to
pour it myself.
I mean, that's the coolest thing to me, but I mean, I still got to get up off the couch to get it. You know, that's the problem. I got to get that fucking medium to bring it to me.
But the fact that it has information about bourbon, that's kind of cool.
That's cool.
That's
all right, ready?
Cool.
Let me know what your dad thinks about that.
Okay.
Don't fucking forget. You'll forget.
Okay.
All right.
I know you don't have much else to look forward to.
Hey, Dad Ross, I'm going to be asking for your opinion on that if you're listening. All right.
Your wife would be excited if you did a story about smaller beds.
Here's your loop. Is there like a half of a twin that you could sleep on in the garage? Not a cot, a little bit smaller than that. Okay, here's your loop, buddy.
Okay.
What is the craziest item that you can think of right now off the top of your head that there could be a smart version of, that there's not currently a smart version?
The craziest item that there could be a smart version of.
I can't wait to pitch my answer to you.
Okay.
Do you want me to give you my first? You want me to go first?
What do I want smart?
Do you want me to go first?
No. I think it'd be kind of cool to have smart ice cream sundaes. That gives you the whole thing. That dispenses the ice cream and then dispenses toppings.
From your place, right?
Yeah, but in your house.
Oh,
smart.
Okay.
Like it asks you what kind of
mood. Oh, you like tell it what you want.
Yeah, it asks what kind of mood you're in. And maybe it has like the Neapolitan. So say like, well, what do you want today? It's like, I want a little bit of strawberry and a little bit of chocolate. I want some sprinkles
on
it.
So you just like order from it. It's like a robot that makes your ice.
Exactly.
That'd be cool.
Ice cream sundae, a robot.
That would definitely kill you though.
Yeah.
You thought Alexa was bad. Oh, shit. Don't say her name. Somebody. Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
Don't say it that loud.
I think it'd be cool. Like a smart. Like
dude, I'm so
a whole ice cream.
Yeah, banana
thing.
Splits. We got it.
Beautiful.
I'm so happy about mine, dude.
Okay.
Let me. You often bash mine, okay? But I want you to listen to me before you start going fuck crazy here.
Okay.
First of all, I'm an old man, okay? So I watch birds. I do that, okay? I just sit there and fucking stare at birds, okay? In my yard. Don't fucking judge me, okay? But I think a smart bird feeder would be amazing. Okay, so here's the thing.
That's actually a really good
idea.
Don't
fucking say that. So you have an app on your phone that like syncs with the bird feeder, right?
Okay.
So when the bird comes over to eat on your, it'll tell you what kind of bird it is on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
It'll like fucking scan the bird and it'll be like cardinal, and you can read all about the cardinal. And it'll have dispensers for different food that different birds prefer. So when a fucking cardinal lands on it,
feed the
cardinal food will come out and shit. And it's like you can fucking talk to the birds and shit. It'll like translate to bird talk.
I got two opinions.
No good.
One, I think it's a great idea.
I'm like a bird.
Two.
It is a good idea.
Two,
though,
right? I think I know a little bit too much about you now, dude, watching your birds.
Patent you and that, your birds. I tried to somehow come up with a smart robe, but I don't know, because I feel like if it's a smart robe, it wouldn't be on my body. So I don't. I got to do that.
That's good. I think it's a great idea.
Bird feeder's good, right?
Smart bird feeder.
All right, well, what do we got to do? We got to do your final thought?
Yeah.
Did we do that yet?
Yeah.
That's the last thing we do, so probably not. Let me get you some tunage back in here, brother. Give me your final thought, episode 53, buddy. What do you got over there? Better be about Domino's Pizza, but if it's not, go ahead.
I just want to tell you all in my final thought today to be patient and let things unfold over time. All this stuff about Trump and Flynn, it kind of reminds me that the truth, the actual reality has a way of opening like a flower over time and giving itself to us. So you know what? Just be patient and allow these things to happen. Allow your life to tell you its truth over time. Patience. The birds will come.
I love it, brother. Hey, don't be mad at me when you look up in 2026 and you see smart bird feeders and Lowe's.
That's a pretty good idea.
And Home Depot.
Great
and shit.
Idea.
I'm just telling you right now, you're going to be like, he fucking told me about that shit. And I didn't listen to him, you know, and I thought it was crazy. But it's coming, brother. It's right around the corner. Now, your fucking robot Sunday maker lady, I don't think that should happen.
That's a great idea.
That's a fucking wonderful idea, but yeah, I don't think that's happening.
The toppings and the syrups and everything, it just gives you a whole Sunday. It brings it to you.
This has been episode 53. Smart. Two Peas on a Podcast. Find all of our information in the show notes, including our Patreon. Please consider that and check out our pod friend of the week, The Countdown. Andy, until next week, brother. We'll figure it out. We'll be together. We'll do it again.
Yes, I'll be here.
I can't wait. I'll bring my Christmas tree if I can creep everybody out.
Wonderful.
Be there.
I'll be here.
I'll see you, man.
All right, man.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.